footwear is sold.
May Fresh Daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
My name is Nelson Mandela. I look back to the achievements not of individuals, but to the achievements of collective action. A group of men and women, that is the nature of our struggle. Without that struggle, we would still be under apartheid. It is always important to look at your history. You can't really be proud of yourself if you don't know your history.
On Saturday, South Africa celebrated 30 years since the end of apartheid. We will talk about how far South Africa has come in meeting its freedom goals. In this hour with former Clinton administration ambassador Charles R. Stith, who also serves as chair of the Pula Group and non-executive chairman of the African Presidential Leadership Center in Joburg. Ambassador Stith, good to have you back on this program. Sir, how are you today?
Always good to be back, Tavis, and let me commend you again for the great work that you're doing.
You are kind. You are kind. I received that. I appreciate it, and I'm humbled by it. Let me make the most of the time that we have. Does it feel like 30 years for you?
Well, the short answer is it doesn't, because as we were discussing the other day, the older you get, the quicker the time.
Yeah, there's that part, as they say, that part, yeah.
But in a real sense, it does feel like it's been a lot of time. My first visit to South Africa was actually 1982. Mm-hmm. And so the changes that I've seen take place between 82 and 94, and I was a part of Clinton's official delegation to monitor the election, and the changes that I've seen from 94 to 2024 have been significant, some positive and some negative. All things considered, I think the country is headed in the right direction. It's going, as they say in Kiswahili, poli poli. It's going very, very slowly. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of reasons why, not the least of which, I think since Zuma was elected president, the ANC has not been as faithful and as effective as it was during its first 10 years. The other thing is, which often doesn't get taken into consideration, I mean, there was a New York Times story regarding South Africa and whether or not, they really defeated apartheid.
I saw that, yeah. I saw that piece this weekend.
The past 30 years have been rough for the globe. Mm-hmm. 2001, we had the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center in New York. That convulsed the global economy. Africa felt it as much, if not more, than any other part of the world. I mean, when I arrived in Tanzania in 1998, all the economies in sub-Saharan Africa were growing in double digits. And when I say double digits, I mean at 14, 15, 17, in some cases, 25%. After 2001, those rates dropped down into single digits. As those countries were starting to dig themselves out, then we had the 2008 banking debacle. Mm-hmm. And then as they were starting to dig themselves out, we had COVID. And South Africa, which pretty much parroted the Western approach to dealing with COVID, shut down its economy for more than a year. And it was devastating. Mm-hmm. The economy shrunk by 17%. That's a generation of growth. Mm-hmm. And so the top of the economy is doing a lot better. I have an office in Joburg, so I see it regularly. Matter of fact, I'm headed there the 7th of May. Mm-hmm. But for folks at the lower middle and below, man, they are still it's still rough.
Yeah. You mentioned the ANC a moment ago. Let me ask you right quick. What is your assessment? You spend a lot of time in Joburg. You have an office there. You have a home there. You're back and forth between our country and theirs. What's your sense of the state, the present state of the ANC, the African National Congress?
They've got problems.
Yeah.
The Zuma years were really rough. And the corruption was a factor. But the bigger issue, from my perspective, is they just didn't keep their eye on the ball. Everybody was trying to figure out how they got theirs without trying to figure out how to get the country to where it needed to be. Ramaphosa has been trying to not only change the image around corruption relative to ANC, he's been trying to get it back on track. But that's been in fits and starts. I think it was a huge mistake for Ramaphosa to adopt the Western approach to dealing with COVID. Magufuli, who took a lot of heat from the West, decided to take an alternative course. Tanzania's economy grew by 2%. Now, that's anemic, but 2% growth is better than your economy shrinking by 17%. The ANC is ripe for the picking. When they had their local elections, not this cycle, but the previous cycle, the ANC lost every major city, including Mandela Bay. And if the competition were up to it, they could be beaten. They're projected to lose their majority for the first time. They'll be large enough probably to construct a coalition to remain in power. But they're struggling.
For those who don't understand South Africa politics, the alternative to the all we know is the ANC, the party of Mandela.
Right.
What is the alternative? You say they're ripe for the picking. What's the alternative?
Well, they're two parties that are potentially positioned because they both have constituency. One is the DA, which is the legacy party of the old National Party, which was controlled by the Afrikaners, and the DA is still controlled by the Afrikaners. And then there's the EFF, Julius Malema, who was one of the young firebrands in the ANC that was nudged out, and he formed his own party, and they've been able to build a grassroots constituency. And they've coalesced in a couple of occasions at the local level to put a mayor in place over the ANC candidate. I mean, in Boston, Kevin White, who was mayor, you know, was longtime mayor, was they were giving him heat and suggesting that, you know, his poll numbers look bad, and he said, "Look, I'm waiting for election day." Because right now, you all have me running against the almighty. The issue is who's the alternative. And the DA looked like they were positioning themselves. They appointed a black president, a fellow by the name of Musi Maimane. And a young guy, you know, articulate, charismatic, looked like he was going to be able to do something. And in parliamentary systems, they have shadow cabinets. And the white woman who was the shadow minister of justice in a public setting said that the thing that was wrong with South Africa is that the police needed to be more like they were during the apartheid era. Well, you know, that's not a winning hand.
No, it's not a winning hand. when we by any stretch, right? When we come forward, and I think you'll take my point. I ask this respectfully, having met him a couple of times, and one of the great joys of my life was to have shaken the hand of Nelson Mandela on a couple of different occasions. But I wonder, and you'll take what I'm getting at here, with the passage of time, does Mandela's legacy grow or does it shrink? And that I'm connecting that obviously to the state of his country. Does his legacy in the rearview mirror, does it grow, does it shrink 30 years since the end of apartheid? Our guest is a former ambassador to Tanzania during the Clinton era, Charles R. Stith on Tavis Smiley.
This is getting good.
Yeah, man.
Tavis Smiley, Tavis Smiley continues when we come forward. Let's get back to more of this rich dialogue with Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and Ambassador Charles R. Stith, as we talk about, celebrate, in fact, the 30th anniversary of the end of apartheid with this historic election 3 decades ago, celebrated on Saturday specifically, but here we are now, first of the week, with our say on their celebration, and indeed a world celebration, over the weekend for the end of apartheid 3 decades ago. I asked moments ago, and I'm watching my time here, Ambassador Stith, whether or not as time marches on, Mandela's legacy grows or shrinks, and I ask that because that legacy is not disconnected from whatever is to be in South Africa. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, and as I was saying to you as we were going off air, I mean, are there some attacks and is there greater scrutiny on what happened during Mandela's time in office? And the short answer to that is yes. I'd also add that, you know, if you're the dead guy in the conversation, yeah, you know, you don't have an opportunity to offer a response.
No retort. Yeah, yeah.
Now, the upside is, you know, Mandela is an iconic figure. And for better or for worse, everybody who's followed him doesn't measure up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to ask, could he have done some other things? The short answer, again, is yes. But I think the more poignant answer is that, you know, what is this generation doing to move the country forward? Mandela set exactly the right tone and tenor when he became president. He left office without any urging at the height of his popularity, which kind of set in, not in stone, obviously, but really kind of set an example that transitions should take place in an orderly fashion. Mm-hmm. That if you're president, you're not president for life. Both of those things were extremely, extremely important. During Mandela's tenure, when the ANC took over the country, it was virtually bankrupt. And everybody thought it was going to hell in a handbasket. And yet, during the first 10 years, and even though Mandela was president only 5, his deputy president, Mbeki,
mm-hmm,
who was his point guy during his term, became president. So I see that as a continuum. They made exponential advances in housing, employment, education, health care. And laid the foundation for the World Games,
yeah,
which everybody thought they were going to blow, which turned out to be a tremendous success.
Indeed. Bill Clinton famously said, the guy you worked for as his ambassador to Tanzania, famously said years ago that every election is about the future and never about the past. When we come forward in our remaining moments with Ambassador Charles R. Stith, the future of South Africa 30 years after the fall of apartheid. You're listening, and I'm glad about it, to Tavis Smiley.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.
Sounds different. Huh?
This is Tavis Smiley.
It would take Ambassador Stith more than 3 minutes to unpack the future of South Africa, number one. And number two, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but based on where this nation is 30 years after apartheid, what's your sense of where it's headed?
I think it's headed in the right direction, and firmly so, because there's a commitment to constitutional government. So as long as that's in place, you've got a foundation on which to build. I think the country is going to go forward. The only question is, will it continue to be poly-poly, slowly, mm-hmm. or will the momentum pick up and it increases? If you can get black and white and colored and Asian and Indian South Africans all on the same page, there is no reason that this country can't rocket forward.
During the Mandela era, principally born of his own charisma and charm and stature, South Africa, though, and not just him, because that Truth and Reconciliation Commission was a really big deal for all the obvious reasons, but South Africa then was a beacon of light and hope for the rest of the continent. Is it still that beacon of light and hope for the rest of the continent?
No, there are a lot of lights on the continent now.
That's fair.
You know, you look at, it still has one of the largest economies on the continent. But when you look at a place like Tanzania, mm-hmm. which is where we also have offices, we've had my older boys just visited after being away 10 years and they were blown away. Mm-hmm. I mean, the change has been literally jaw-dropping. Ghana, significant growth. Mauritius, which most folks don't think about as being Africa, the Mauritians see themselves as African. It's the center of the finance and technology. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of action. And while South Africa still has a head start, if they're not careful, they're going to be playing catch up. You know, next month, the president of Kenya, President Ruto, mm-hmm. is going to be paying an official visit to the United States with all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. First time in 50 years that's happened for an Africa head of state. Kenya is growing. I was just there recently. So, you know, if South Africans aren't careful, they're not going to be looking at other countries in the rearview mirror. They're going to be in the rearview mirror.
I got 30 seconds, so a really tight response here. How concerned should we be about what some see as the new exploitation of Africa by China?
I think it's a diversion. You know, as long as you've got options, you're in a better place than you are if you don't. And with China in the game, it gives Africa alternatives other than the U.S. and Europe. And at the end of the day, that's good for Africa and good for the world, quite frankly.
We celebrate South Africa 3 decades post-apartheid. And we thank Ambassador Charles Darshtith for coming in to unpack what he sees on the continent and specifically in that country, given that he has offices there and is headed back there just a few days from now. But thanks for coming to see me on this day. Good to have you. All the best to you, my friend.
Thanks so much. Always great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.